of the Neighborhood of Holy podcast. My name is Matt Lipan, and this is my first full day back in the office after being away for annual conference 4 days last week. And I don't know about you, but I feel like summer doesn't really start until after annual conference happens. Now, for those of you who maybe aren't United Methodist or have no idea what I'm talking about when I say annual conference, let me give you a quick sort of idea of what that looks like. Basically, annual conference is an annual meeting of all of the United Methodist clergy in a particular conference. So where I live in Indianapolis, and the annual conference area that I serve in is the Indiana Annual Conference. So the whole geographical state of Indiana makes up the Indiana Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church. And so once a year, we get together to do the business of the conference. Think of it as a 3 to 4 day long church meeting. Now, I know that sounds potentially like the worst thing that you can imagine, but it's really not all that terrible. I mean, there's lots of opportunities to do some workshops, to do some learning, to hang out and reconnect with people that perhaps you haven't seen in a while, colleagues, or and then each church, each United Methodist Church in the Indiana Conference sends a group of church members, delegates, to go, and then we all come together as clergy and those delegates that are church members, and we do the business of the conference. So we vote on stuff, we hear reports, and get to just kind of be in fellowship and connection with one another. And so I thought I would give a little bit of a recap, just from my perspective, over the last couple of days. So I serve on the Board of Ordained Ministry for the Indiana Conference, and so we had a meeting on Wednesday afternoon. So I kind of feel like annual conference for me started on Wednesday about 3 o'clock. We had a Board of Ordained Ministry meeting Wednesday, 3 to 5, where we kind of just talked through and kind of worked on some details of things as we got ready to move into, you know, the main sessions of annual conference, starting the next day, that Thursday. One of the main things that the Board of Ordained Ministry does is we have the opportunity, really the privilege and responsibility, I guess, to spend time with individuals who are pursuing a call into full-time ministry in the life of the United Methodist Church. And so one of the things that we do as the Board of Ordained Ministry is we have the opportunity to spend time reading through these individuals' paperwork that they submit. We have the opportunity to interview them and spend time in conversation with them. And then as a board, we vote. We vote on kind of whether or not we feel like they were able to articulate a call and even give some evidence of that call bringing about fruit in ministry in their lives. And so we spent some time kind of finishing up that stuff. That's we do that work in probably February or March, typically. And so the meeting on Wednesday was sort of the tying up any loose ends that we might have in regards to any of the other things that we do. We deal a lot with clergy status. So if an individual says, I'd like to take some voluntary leave of absence. That's a clergy status that the Board of Ordained Ministry has to talk about and vote on and approve, and or retirement or things like that. And so we deal with that stuff and got some of those things ready. And then so Thursday then is sort of when the main sessions of annual conference began. We had opening worship on Thursday morning, which was great to see. I will say, I'll just kind of add my commentary over the last couple days of annual conference, just things that I remember that kind of stuck out to me. So the band sounded really great. I mean, musically, the band was really quite impressive. Kind of jealous, really. It'd be kind of fun to have and be working with them on a regular basis. Though I will say I'm pretty excited about the band that we have here at Gateway. But they sounded really great. The thing that the only real issue that I had was the opening song of opening worship to kick off annual conference was a song by the Beatles. Well, it was to the song Come Together by the Beatles. The lyrics were changed to be Christian-y, I guess. And I think my issue was, that's just a huge pet peeve of mine. I'm a big music person. I really like music a lot. And so, and I have a huge pet peeve of mine is when the church will take secular songs and change the lyrics to make them Christian. I don't know. There's something about that that just kind of sort of drives me crazy. They sounded great. I just thought that was a little bit of a weird thing to begin annual conference with. The other thing I would say about the music throughout annual conference and the band, it was really cool to do. We did a number of songs or verses within songs in a different language, and whether it was Spanish or Korean, or I just thought that was a really that was a pretty cool touch to kind of remind us of the diversity, right? That sometimes we forget about, or whatever the case might be. So we had a opening worship session, and then we did some business. Had a business session in the afternoon for a little bit, where we kind of talked about some budget stuff, which is kind of cool to see that our budget right now, the income for, let's see, let me look at some of these stats for you and share these with you. The total income for the 2016 year for the Indiana Annual Conference was just about $13 million, and total expenses was a little bit under that. So we had a surplus of $45,000, which is obviously better than not, right? And that we were, along with 26 other annual conferences, we fully paid our general church apportionment, which totaled $5.3 million. And so that's a pretty cool thing as well. So that's kind of cool. We celebrated the ministry of a couple churches that closed. Let's see, that looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 churches that closed, and we celebrated their ministry, and then perhaps kind of, you know, looking at some of the cool things that they might be doing as they look and think about what it looks like to, you know, maybe combine or come together or whatever the case is. There were 6 resolutions that were brought, that were submitted to annual conference. Unfortunately, we were really only able to talk through 3 of them, and I'll kind of mention more about that in a little bit. But that began on Thursday. The first resolution had to do with expanding our ministries in creation care, and the idea was that this was a resolution that would sort of just cause our conference to say, yes, we care about the environment, and we are not only willing, but we're committed to do some things to make sure that we are good stewards of. That was referred. That resolution was referred to the Mission and Justice Committee, I think, to review and recommend what might be done here in the next, you know, year or so. And then we had the slide for resolution number 2, which was to help end suicide and homelessness among lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth. So that slide was put up on the screen, and then Bishop Trimble said, all right, hard stop, we're going to break, and that was that for the day. And then we moved into our respective clergy and laity sessions and went into those sessions where then the clergy kind of break off into a group, and the non-clergy, another churchy word that is used is laity, which is not lady, but laity, L-A-I-T-Y. And so those church member delegates from all the churches, so they get together and they do some of the work that they need to do. We get together and do some of the work we need to do as a clergy session. Then we vote on the individuals who are coming to be commissioned or coming to be ordained, or perhaps maybe even being discontinued or retirement, or, you know, again, all those different status things that I mentioned, then that we work on in the Board of Ordained Ministry, we bring those recommendations to the whole clergy session, and then as all of the clergy, we vote on that stuff. So that was all Thursday. And what else Thursday? Oh, I did forget to mention, so Wednesday, I was downtown, in the downtown area, earlier than my meeting on purpose, and I don't go downtown enough. And so I had the opportunity for the first time to go to Goose the Market, which is at Delaware and 25th, and a great kind of deli, meat, cheese, sandwich shop, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it, really. But so I get, that was kind of fun. Got to do that for the first time Wednesday and go check that place out. Very cool. And it was a really great sandwich that I had there. Thursday, for lunch, I decided, you know what, I'm going to, again, not downtown a ton. And so I'm gonna go walk around a little bit. So I have to confess that I went to the City Market downtown, which is, Delaware and Market Street or something, downtown Indianapolis. Went there for the first time. It was the first time I'd ever been there, first time I'd been in the building, and that was pretty cool. They had a tamale place. Well, I had a meeting Wednesday evening, actually, there at that place, and that's how I knew where it was, and kind of, and the guy that I was meeting with is a church member, works downtown, and, you know, said, hey, this is a great place to go for lunch. While you're down here, you should go to lunch here. There's a tamale place in the corner over here, and really great tamales. And I'm a huge tamale fan. So Thursday, I walked down there. I walked down there and had some really delicious tamales. So much so that then the next day, Friday, I walked down there again to get more because they were that good. Friday's day at annual conference started with some morning worship and Bible study. Then we had a kind of a business session, but it really was, I'm not sure that we did a ton of business in that 1 hour session. Bishop Trimble spoke for a little bit, shared some things. I know it was on Friday where we celebrated the miracle offering for global health, which was kind of an initiative that Bishop Trimble really encouraged all of the churches in the Indiana Annual Conference to be a part of. And specifically, this offering targeted HIV/AIDS and malaria in sub-Saharan Africa, and 25% of what we raised was going to stay here in Indiana, which is experiencing, especially southern Indiana, which is experiencing an HIV/AIDS outbreak, really epidemic perhaps, because of the state of Indiana. Is we're really struggling right now with opioid abuse, addiction, and it's leading to lots of other things that we're really wrestling to figure out. And I think as the church in the state of Indiana, we've got to figure out what our role is and how do we step into that really challenging, really, really difficult situation. How can we be support? How can we help and come alongside either those who are struggling with it and find themselves in addiction, or family members who have lost loved ones because of an overdose? And so that's, I think, going to continue to be an issue for the state of Indiana and for the churches of Indiana to figure out how we can kind of speak into that. And so anyways, we had this special offering, and we raised over $400,000. And that's, I think, a pretty cool, exciting thing. That equates to, I think Bishop Trimble was saying, over 40,000 lives that would be impacted or saved even based on that giving. So that was pretty cool. Moved into lunchtime. Again, I walked down the City Market because it was delicious and I got more tamales and they were really good. And I wish I was eating one now. Oh, random question. Does anyone know if they have breakfast tamales? Is that a thing? Or is that just a breakfast burrito? Something that maybe we should think about, or maybe we should even start. Then we had an afternoon business session. This one was a pretty long one. Started about 1:30, went till about, 5:30 or whatever. Not quite 5:30. And I mentioned the resolutions. In this one, we had reports from church development. We had reports from leadership development. We had reports from the finance team. We were able to celebrate all the clergy who were retiring, which I think was, I feel pretty safe to say it was over 50 individuals, over 50 clergy who just retired last week at annual conference with a combined years of service. So this is pretty cool to think about. So those 50 plus retiring clergy have a collective 1,271 years of service, which is really something to celebrate, and what a great legacy. And so 50, whatever that was, you know, 50 plus individuals who retired, and we celebrated that. And then we moved into trying to bring up the resolutions again. So as I mentioned, we got through one on Thursday, came back and went right into resolution number two, which was working or focused on helping to end suicide and homelessness. The resolution stated that it was to help end suicide and homelessness among lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth. And there was a lot of conversation about it, which I think is a good thing to have conversation. I wouldn't say debate, really, because I don't know that anyone was really against this resolution, but there were individuals who felt like it needed to be broader and just kind of expand to say all of youth, not a particular, I don't know, subculture, right? Or not particularly focused on narrowing it to the LGBTQ youth. They thought all youth should be, you know, the church should be doing something to help end suicide and homelessness among all youth, which I can understand that point. And then I heard, you know, there were others who said, but there are very specific or particular challenges that LGBTQ youth face that is different than. And so, you know, I can understand, or I can appreciate that perspective. And so there was a lot of conversation, which I thought, again, is a good thing. And it kind of went back and forth. And eventually there was an amendment brought, and that resolution was changed to, I think, if I remember correctly, to kind of broaden the scope of all youth. If I remember correctly, and so maybe if you're listening and you remember or you were there, you can drop a comment and correct me. But I think it also kept in a special awareness to the struggles, the stresses, the pressure, perhaps even cases of depression that LGBTQ youth experience in particular. Resolution number three was new elections for special general conference session. So, I mean, we could get into all the metho nerdiness of what it means to be a United Methodist and the way our church is structured. But if you want to picture that the annual conferences are, you know, they meet annually, so once a year they meet, and they are sort of they're geographically a smaller area. So the state of Indiana, the state of Michigan is one. The state of Ohio has two annual conferences, East and West. And so general conference, it meets once every 4 years, and it's kind of the larger body from United Methodists from all over the world that gets together at once every 4 years. And that is the only body that can make any statements for the whole denomination. Well, there's been a special general conference session called for 2019, and each annual conference can elect delegates to go to these general conferences and to vote on all the things that they might vote about. Well, there's a special general conference coming in 2019 to specifically address issues of human sexuality. And so there was a resolution, you know, there was a resolution brought that we should have special elections to elect potentially new delegates to go. Once a delegate is elected from an annual conference, they are elected in that role for 4 years. But an annual conference does have the ability or the opportunity to hold new elections if they so vote and choose. And so we spent a little time talking about that, and that was That resolution did not pass, and so that was new elections is not a thing that we're going to have in the Indiana Annual Conference for electing new delegates for the general conference, the special called general conference session. And then resolutions 4, 5, and 6 did not even see the light of day, really, on the conference floor, which is, I think, a little bit of a bummer. And I'll kind of mention that why in a second, I think. So resolution number four was responding to anti-Semitism and recent acts of hate. Number 5 was welcoming the migrant in our midst. And then number 6 was Wesley Seminary and the University Senate. All of, I think, are important things that would have been good to talk about and discuss. My issue, I think, with all of, and I get that trying to plan the logistics of, you know, a 3-day conference and being stewards of time and being efficient, I mean, I get that that is a really challenging, difficult thing to do. And I certainly don't have all the answers, or maybe any answer. But I can't help but wonder if there's a way in which we can more intentionally carve out time for the kind of conversations, conferencing, debate that we might have around issues like this. It seems like every year we have resolutions brought, or we have something, things that come up on the floor of annual conference that we really need to discuss and frankly make a decision on, have some sort of action, and we don't because we run out of time. And so I'm just wondering if there's a way that perhaps we had a lot of videos happened throughout annual conference. And I thought that the videos this year, some of them were the best that I've seen us do ever. And so that was really cool. And I thought some of those were really, really well done. So props to our communications team for that. But I do wonder if some of the reports and some of the videos, there might be ways we could either just cut them out, or we could put them out before conference begins, and, you know, invite people to watch them leading up to conference. I don't know. It just seems like we have to have more time to be in conversation with each other on the floor of the annual conference, because there's a lot of business things, or there's a lot of, not just business, but there's a lot of ministry things that we need to talk about and discuss and be able to have the room of time and space to kind of have back and forth on, you know, varying perspectives and issues. So anyways, I thought that was a little bit interesting. I was kind of intrigued by resolution number 3 with the new elections for the special call general conference. I kind of wanted it to pass because I kind of wanted the opportunity to serve. I think it would be a really interesting opportunity to serve. I mean, not that I would have been elected or anything like that, but I certainly would have been willing to serve. It's in St. Louis in 2019. I would have been willing to do that, and the only way that that would have happened is if we would have had the resolution pass, and we didn't, and that's cool. I mean, it'll be interesting either way to see how things go in the, you know, in the coming years. So then that was Friday, and then let's see. Then we had the service of remembrance and Holy Communion in the evening. We remember those who have passed. Have the opportunity to celebrate the sacrament together. And then Saturday is the celebration of ministry, where we commission and ordain individuals. So this year in the Indiana Annual Conference, we had 50 plus clergy pastors retire. And I believe that we commissioned 8 or 9 and ordained 9. So you can do the math and see that, you know, now at the same time in our conference, in the state of Indiana, in the United Methodist Church, we have, I think, close to 400 local pastors who are serving a number of our churches, which is pretty cool. And clearly their ministry is invaluable. I mean, it is vital. It is crucial to the United Methodist ministry in the state of Indiana. But it is interesting to see this trend of 50-plus individuals retiring from full-time ministry and commissioning, ordaining, you know, less than 20. And so at some point, I don't know. You know, I don't know what we're going to do, but we probably have to figure out something. And as part of serving on the Board of Ordained Ministry, I also serve on our recruitment team. And one of the things that we are really spending time thinking about, talking about, is how do we walk beside individuals who feel called into full-time ministry, and how can we support them even to the point of, you know, ordination in the United Methodist Church in the Indiana Conference. And so those are some of the things that we're working on and thinking about. And actually, at the end of the Celebration of Ministry service, which, by the way, is about the only time, I think once a year, that you might catch me in a robe and a stole. So about, there's like maybe a 3-hour window where I'll be a year, maybe a 3-hour window a year where I'll be wearing my robe and a stole. So, but as a part of that service, at the end of it, Bishop Trimble invited those who perhaps were feeling a call into full-time ministry to come on down to the front. And I had the opportunity to be there and to meet them as some individuals came down, and to even spend some time praying with an individual. I remember I had the opportunity to meet a guy named Paul and to spend some time praying with him, and in some conversation, he feels like God is kind of pulling on his heart to explore or perhaps even move into full-time ministry. And this is a guy who I think has been pretty well established in his career for some time, and feels like just in the last, you know, I don't know, year or two, God's been really pulling him, you know, kind of put this call on his heart to be in full-time ministry. And so really exciting to be able to do that. It's really a humbling thing to have the opportunity to talk with somebody about that and pray with them. And so, yeah, so I would say, you know, annual conference, it was good. Those 4 days seemed a little long, but at the same time, always good to reconnect with some friends and colleagues, and felt like overall, I think we got some stuff done. I'm not sure how much, but in the business of it, right? I think hearing the reports of what ministry has been taking place over the past year in the Indiana Conference was a good thing. And I think we're doing some good things. I think we have lots of opportunity in ways where we can and need to continue to do more and to be better. But also at the same time, lots of opportunity, lots of potential, and lots of exciting things to be a part of. So if you've got thoughts, you were there, love to hear your thoughts. How did you feel like annual conference went this year? Or do you have questions about what the heck is that still? I'm not really sure I understand. And, you know, did you really wear a robe? Whatever. It'd be great to hear from you and to connect with you. You can do that online at the website, neighborhoodofholy.com. You can hit me up on Twitter, MattLipan. Shoot me an email, matt.lipan@gatewayindy.org. And look forward to being in conversation with you. Thanks for walking around the neighborhood, and we'll talk to you soon.